Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Gracie Martinez. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a sophomore at Maid Creek High School. I've been attending this church for 15 years. Throughout our series on the Apostles' Creed, we have heard and learned the meaning behind the words. Today, I want to share what I believe and why. The start of the creed begins with two small, simple, and powerful words, I believe. I believe Jesus is the one that you can always trust in your time of need. He is the one that will never fail you, because God is love, and God says that love will never fail. To me, Jesus is someone that I look forward to seeing at the finish line, only to realize that when I reached it, he was running with me the whole time. He is my number one supporter. He is someone that knows every single thing about me, but still listens to me when I'm going through a difficult time. He is like a father that waits for you to tell him how your day was. For me, it's so beautiful to think about how much Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he physically went through the worst pain anyone could possibly go through, just so we could live a life with an abundant amount of peace. Jesus loves you so much that he gives us a chance of eternal life with the creator of the universe. Jesus, to me, is so creative. How can one even imagine a sunset or a waterfall? I can't even begin to fathom the brilliance of God and how he thinks of things like that. He thought of every small detail and made it perfect. Who wouldn't want to get to know a God like that? The true living God, the one that knit you together in your mother's womb, who took time perfecting you and calls you his own. Jesus is always there with you along the way, even when you get off track, lose yourself, and even if you lose him. He will still wait for his child with open arms as he gives you a big hug welcoming you back. Jesus was the first to love you, and that will never change. One way I experienced Jesus recently was last summer. I went to a mission trip in College Station, and we painted houses for people that were in need. And I remember it was really hot. It was probably like 100 and something degrees. And the people saw us like having a hard time painting their houses, and they gave us popsicles and water and things that we needed to cool down. And for me, that really showcased God's love towards us and how we should always love like how Jesus loves. Thank you.
All righty, good morning, downtown.
Good morning.
My name is Amir. I come from West Chase. And today I just want to go over the gospel and the scriptures that we have today. Found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when reading the scriptures today, it occurred in three of the scriptures from the four holy gospels. I'm confronted with just how little we truly know about the vastness and scale of Jesus Christ. I think about the bigger picture he was trying to show the disciples, and to an extent to us right now, how he was building towards it. The short and powerful question he asked to the disciples was to help them understand the full perspective. I think about how God is trying to help us grasp the picture throughout our own lives and how we just have to sit down and listen. Every person has their own experiences that shaped how we view Christ. We live and breathe on the same earth under the same sun, and we are all equal. With hardships, financial, grief, pressures, stresses we all face in our lives, as well as the blessings, all these things come together to shape who we are and how we view Christ. Some people view Jesus as a brother, a teacher, the King of all kings, Son of Man, the Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God. And all of these names are valid, but I think it's important to keep in mind that Jesus is beyond these labels that we all give to him. The scripture tells me that every person must answer for themselves based on their experiences of who Christ is. Throughout our many experiences, not only in the church, but throughout our lives, we come to make our own versions of Jesus, and we come to discover who he is each day. None of our experiences are wrong, but at the same time, none of them are 100% correct. I think there is no right or wrong, but I think at the end of it all, Jesus is God, as described in the Apostles' Creed. But what does that even mean? What does that mean to you, or to me, or to anyone in this room? He makes it a point to differentiate how other people perceive him and think of him when they ask the second question of who do you say that I am? I interpret it as a direct and personal question to me. Who do I think Jesus is? It's a question that every follower has to think and find out for themselves. At the end of both Mark and Luke's scripture, Jesus tells his disciples not to tell anyone about his real name. At first, I thought it was a strange question because that's the whole point. We're supposed to spread the word of God. So what does he mean? Keep it to ourselves. I thought about what it truly meant to know someone. You hear all these names like Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, and you could bring up every single minute detail, but that doesn't really mean that you know them as a person. You don't have a relationship with them. And the same goes for Jesus too. For someone to call him by his true name, they would have to know who he is. Whenever I'm out in nature, I see the vastness and beauty of God's work at hand. And this is especially true whenever I went to Camp Cullen for the fall retreat. Going out into the morning every single day and allowing myself to have the personal time with Jesus was really like breathtaking and eye-opening. To truly sit down and be willing to listen to him and allow him to enter your life and grow with them. No amount of history lessons or minute details will get you to that point. He wants us all as an individual to get to know him through their own paths. Being guided and given direction is one thing, but for a person to know Jesus, they have to go after him. After all, what is a name without no connection?
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Will Maddox, and I'm part of the youth group here at First Methodist Houston. I'm a senior at Heights High School, and I'm 17 years old. This summer sermon series that we're on right now, revolving around I Believe in the Apostles' Creed, has deepened my understanding of the core beliefs we hold as Christians and Methodists. And while preparing for today, I've had the opportunity to think deeply about my own faith. What I've realized is that the Apostles' Creed is more than just words that we say every Sunday, but a proclamation of faith and a manifestation of what we believe. It's gotten me thinking about what I believe and why I believe it. Today, I want to talk about my beliefs and what it means for me, myself, to say the words of the Apostles' Creed, as well as how my recent experiences have shaped that. Over the last year, I've had the privilege to serve on two different international mission trips with the student and family ministry here. The first to Nicaragua in the summer of 2023, and most recently to Honduras this March. I thought it would be valuable to share my experiences as we wrap up this sermon series. I want to invite you to take a look up at the screen behind me. This is a photo of myself and a fourth grader I met in Nicaragua named Israel. In this photo, we're on top of a volcano near Managua, where we took the children from a school. It was my job to look after Israel, and he brought a bag of Takis to the volcano. And as soon as he opened the bag, a wave of his classmates swarmed him asking for a Taki. Without hesitation, Israel benevolently offered a Taki to every single one of the classmates who asked for one. When only one Taki remained in his bag, he turned around and offered it to me. Israel probably ate two or three Takis out of the entire bag. This is the same kid who doesn't always know when his next meal will come, but he was still so graciously willing to share his snack with others. On that day, Israel displayed what it means to love like Jesus, a kind of love that requires sacrifice. The Apostles' Creed states, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. There's no greater sacrifice than that. Think about your own life. Where are you loving like Jesus? Are you willing to sacrifice your own desires for others? It could be something as little as sharing your snack with someone else, just like Israel. Almost all the people that I met on my trips to Nicaragua and Honduras share the same love and kindness for each other as Israel. Though they live in homes that wouldn't even be considered a home to the American mind, they have still built such a loving and generous community. They have a childlike love for each other, and a kindness that surpasses what I can imagine here in the States. What I took away from these trips is that even though these people don't have what I might consider needs, things such as air conditioning, running water, or even a quality education, they actually have everything that they need. All they need, and all anybody truly needs, is belief in Jesus Christ. And their belief is incredibly abundant. There's something about being stripped down to the bare necessities that makes you realize that your faith is all that you really need. These people that I met don't have the material wealth that so many people seek, but what they do have is spiritual abundance. These two trips have completely changed my outlook on what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean that all of a sudden all these things that you want will fall into place, but what it means is that you will have everything that you will ever need. John Wesley captures what it means to sacrifice your worldly desires in part of the Wesley Covenant Prayer. It says, "Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal." I encourage you to think about what it means for you to say, "I believe." What does it look like in your own life? Our scripture today challenges us to think about what we believe, to answer Jesus' question of who he is to you, and our actions reflect what we believe. That's why it's so important for us to understand the words that we say each Sunday in the Apostles' Creed. These words declare what we believe as Christians, and they should be the centerpiece of our lives. Whether you have everything the world could offer or just the basic necessities, our belief as Christians is all we will ever truly need, and it's what bonds us together. Thank you.
Amen. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for these young people who have been given gifts today and are sharing those among us. We give you thanks for your word today, which calls us anew to be challenged so that the words that we say match our actions. God, we come before you in awe of what you do in our lives and in the lives of so many people. We thank you for the ways in which you show up in glasses of water or popsicles or through creation or even through a bag of Takis. God, we pray that we would have the spirit and generosity that you have shown your disciples throughout the ages. And we pray, Lord, that once again this day your spirit would be poured out upon us and that our hearts would be opened once again, that we might be renewed in your image and be reminded of the people that you have created us to be. God, we ask all of these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.